Morgan Rigaud, an appraiser of fine and decorative arts and collectibles and managing director of Bryson Estates, is with us in the studio. She also appears on KET's program, Kentucky Collectibles. Welcome to Around Cincinnati, Morgan.
Thanks, Lee. Happy to be here.
How long have you been an appraiser and interested in antiques and collectibles?
Well, I started my business in 2009, but I've been interested in antiques and collectibles my entire life. My mother was a Sunday painter, but quite good, and she made it a point to take me to loads and loads of antique shops, gallery openings, museums. I really tagged along with her and really got that exposure early on.
So you've got a strong background in art?
I do. Formal and certainly self-study as well. My degrees, my undergrad, and then two graduate degrees are in art history, and one of those from NYU in fine and decorative art appraisal, which is one of those very specific kind of niche fields. Then, of course, I worked for another appraiser and had my entree into the business through the insurance side of things. And then that morphed into a business that largely serves insurance, estates, and so forth.
There are different values for an item, whether it be antique or a collectible. There's insurance value, retail value. Can you go into that a little bit?
Sure. I'll try to give the most basic explanation I can. I like to tell folks, price is a fact, value is a concept. And when we are assigning value to, say, a painting or a sculpture, that value is going to be modeled based on the purpose. And for insurance purposes, we will assign a retail replacement value. So that's our job to determine what it would cost to replace the object with something of similar likeness, kind, and quality. So for insurance purposes, we're modeling the purchase. Now, for estate, almost all tax purposes, we'll model fair market value, which is what a willing buyer would accept from a willing seller, both knowledgeable of the facts and neither compulsed to buy or sell. So in that instance, value is a model of what someone would pay rather than what something could be purchased for.
And there's also an auction value.
The auction value is essentially what the price realized is. So it's the knock of the hammer plus commissions and fees.
Could you go into some of the hot collectibles that are in the market today?
Oh, my goodness. Well, there are so many, and I guess specific to the category, and category meaning if you think of rugs and tapestries or interior furnishings, paintings, contemporary paintings versus 19th century paintings. And essentially, the best of the best is still selling at great prices. So an excellent Hudson River School landscape by a very well-known and sought-after artist will still fetch a great price, whereas since the recession, we've seen that a lot of fair-to-good examples might be getting lost at auction because they might have a condition issue, and that's negatively impacting the value now more than ever. So in a lot of ways, even by category of collectible, we're seeing that the very, very best prime pieces are selling for very high prices, and then everything else is pretty soft. So you have to have specific taste. That's a likely trait of buyers now because of online auctions. You can find absolutely everything, and you can find the very best quality. So unlike the old days, you're not out searching and ferreting out fantastic examples. The internet has home to lots of sites that at least claim to do that for you and oftentimes are successful. But there are so many options that's really the best quality items are selling and selling very, very well.
Say you're a collector or you're thinking about collecting Star Wars toys or memorabilia as an investment. Talk about condition.
Condition is relative to the importance of the object when you're thinking about in particularly sci-fi memorabilia, but any sort of celebrity or pop culture material. The closeness to the celebrity is actually a more important value-determining characteristic of the object than necessarily the condition in many cases. In the original Star Trek series, Spock wore the pointed Vulcan ears, and they were essentially a latex makeup addition that he had for every show filming. Those Vulcan ears resell at auction, and because they were actually worn by Spock in the series, filmed and very well documented, they're a pretty popular item. Now, there are quite a few of them because he had a new pair of ears with every show filming. So it's funny, there are lots of Vulcan ears that were worn by Spock on the series that are available on the market, and they sell for between $800 and $1,000 last I checked.
So do you need documentation or provenance to come with that?
You hit on an excellent point there, Lee, because it is the documentation of him wearing them on the show that demonstrates the closeness to the celebrity. So their celebrity score elevates the more and more documentation we have of them being in direct contact with the celebrity in question. So this is kind of just a little tidbit on how to appraise Hollywood, appraising pop culture. Now, when those are in poor condition, it would have a lesser effect on the value than if a pair of mass-produced Vulcan ears were released to the market, even packaged and in pristine condition. Those sort of collectible limited edition sorts of things really were produced in large quantities. And even if they are of the era, it still doesn't have that close connection to the celebrity. And so, you know, that's apples and oranges as far as I'm concerned with what the real deal.
I'm wondering about reproduction and fakes, which have flooded the market in a number of different categories. How do you go about trying to find out what's what?
You know, it comes with research and it comes with building a visual vocabulary. And you know this because you are an antique dealer, is that the more material you see, the more readily you can recognize details and discrepancies in details. You'll hear appraisers and dealers kind of initially says, this is not right. And that's the first inclination that more investigation needs to happen. Maybe you notice that something looks as if it was replaced, or a mark wasn't applied with the same hand as the other marks you've seen. You don't know that until you've really developed both the visual vocabulary and as well the research skills. And research is key in this industry because there is so much misinformation online.
Well, let's talk about the big event, August 20th, at the Northern Kentucky Convention Center when KET is taping Kentucky Collectibles. What's that day going to be like?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I look forward to this day. I've looked forward to it since our last appraisal. It's a fun day for us as well as all the visitors for a great cause, a donation to public television, and a meeting with an appraiser with two of your favorite things. We have a ball because we never know what's going to walk through the door. The variety of objects and people that we get to meet is just exciting. It really is one of my favorite days of the year. And it's busy because loads of people come and really do bring everything but the kitchen sink.
Well, do you need a ticket for it? How to go about getting tickets, or are they already gone?
KET is selling tickets on their website, and this is one of their most successful fundraisers. And it's actually the number one program on public television produced in Kentucky. So that is so exciting for us, really. And if you donate to KET and you bring items, who knows, you might have your appraisal filmed and see yourself on public television. So
give an example of something unusual that has walked through the door.
My focus is in the fine art table. I look primarily at paintings, prints, works on paper, and sculpture. So I've seen loads of really interesting art, some German expressionist prints that were out of the blue. And German expressionism isn't something that you think many folks in Kentucky are collecting, but it's that surprise factor that is, it's spontaneous, it's fun, it's cool. Then, you know, there were all sorts of fun kind of history documents that came in, and a really cool painting of a World War I carrier pigeon apparently carried more important messages than any other carrier pigeon of its age. And it was honored in this painting. It was extremely well done. It was detailed down to the feather of the feather. And it had this beautifully handwritten inscription on the back. And it was an amazing tribute to an animal that served in World War I. And I found that so endearing. I love that. So that's what comes to memory first, is really kind of the endearing family history sorts of things.
How in the world did you appraise that? Give a value to it?
Well, you know, I was very lucky. One of the other specialists, Matt Chapman from Cowan's Auctions, was located nearby, and he looks at historical objects all day, every day. And so we were able to triage that to him. But that's the thing, is that you get to see everything that all of the other appraisers are appraising as well. And so Matt was clued into the era in history and what similar things were selling for. And he had his pulse on that market. So,
you know, one of the things, going back to collectibles, that I've noticed that when people are cleaning out estates, cleaning out their parents' home, perhaps, paper items are usually the first ones thrown in the dumpster. A lot of them are valuable for many reasons. Can you go into some of the items that should be saved?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, Lee, is that ephemera is one of those areas where there's so much uncertainty, and the valuable items can be so easily stacked in the same pile with the truly paper recyclables. So what we've found is that, of course, handwritten historical documents are important to note, particularly if they address an area of history that has a following or an interest group, particularly a group of collectors. So, you know, lots of the Americana documents are frequently found in Kentucky and Ohio and Indiana homes. We're living in the land of Lincoln, and he was a president during a period of war. So he signed copious amounts of documents and war appointments and wrote letters, and they vary in importance and much in line with the way that you address the value of pop culture is you first think about how important was the figure who wrote this document. Certainly, is it authentic to them is very important. So authenticity is important. And then how important is the subject matter addressed in the document? And so it's not uncommon for families to have letters to and from Lincoln. I mean, we see it regularly, and lots of important history documents, because so much history happened here in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's amazing.
And also books, autographed books. Most people don't take the time to open them up and take a look at the first few pages to see if they might be inscribed.
Absolutely. And it, with documents and books, I think that the reason so many are off the radar is because it really takes quite a bit of patience to acquire the knowledge necessary to really dive in and know what you're looking for. You really have to do a lot of learning and see lots of examples to identify good, better, best as far as books are concerned. But signed books, signed documents, even broadsides, and it's an election year, old political ephemera. party tickets, ballots, ribbons.
Pins. Posters.
Absolutely.
Bumper stickers. It goes on and on.
There's tons of it. And some of it's considered commodity. But when the really special stuff is uncovered, it can fetch amazing prices at auction. Really surprise you. So you do have to be a bit of a sleuth. You're right. Absolutely right. When it comes to the paper.
KET has a fundraiser. And now Cincinnati Public Radio, we're going to get into the auction arena a bit. Can you tell us about your participation and what we're doing?
Oh, absolutely. You're doing a great thing in that you're having an auction, and I'm co-chairing this auction to bring some energy around donations of art, antiques, better household items, things that could be resold online to generate some extra funds for Cincinnati Public Radio. And because it's an online sale, I predict that the general household will raise more money. I think that listeners will turn out and bid and get excited about this. And I'm asking listeners to learn more about this and really participate on both ends with the consignments. It takes great consignments to fetch great prices. And as well, participating in the bidding.
And the auction, online auction, is going to occur from August 26th to September 1st. And we have 2 days, Friday and Saturday, July 29th and 30th, when they can drop off items. And the items have to be worth over $200.
Yes. But think about it. Everyone has something they could get rid of. So really, everyone can participate in this. People need not be shy. Everyone can participate in this. Everyone has something they can get rid of. And, it's a great cause. It's a donation. So cleaning out your closet or finding maybe some old antiques that you're looking to replace, or something, maybe donate to the auction or pick something up to replace what you've donated. Who knows?
Oh, that's a great idea. And it's going to be online, as I said, August 26th to September 1st. And it all goes to support Cincinnati Public Radio stations, WVXU, WGUC, and WMUB. So it's going to be a wonderful happening. So we hope everyone will participate who's listening. And I've been speaking with Morgan Rigaud, who's an appraiser and managing director of Bryson Estates tonight. Thanks, Morgan, for coming in.
Thanks, Lee.
And good luck with the taping of Kentucky Collectibles over at Northern Kentucky Convention Center on August 20th.
I hope people bring interesting things for me to appraise.
Because every time someone brings in something interesting that you don't know about, it's a learning experience for you as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the life of an appraiser, is the life of a lifelong learner.
Well, you'll find a link to her website and also details of Cincinnati Public Radio's online auction from August 26th through September 1st, and how you can donate items worth at least $200. On July 29th and 30th, there's drop-off places at 1223 Central Parkway, which is where our studios are, and also at the VOA up in Westchester. For more information, go to WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Lee Hay.